Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my ghoulies and ghosties and everybody else who's listening. It's good to be back. Oh, what was that? I'm just kidding. So welcome to the Sludge Pit. We are officially back on the air. There's been a little bit of stuff that's been going on, all positive. Some of them a little creepy, too. So we'll definitely talk about that. So, Danae, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I have been crazy busy, and I'm doing very well, actually.
That's
I'm
good.
A little bit lonely, but we'll get to that. So, anyway, what has been going on? Why haven't there been shows? Where did Doc disappear to, a.k.a. me? Okay, let's start off. Why there have not been shows for a few weeks? Well, it's because I actually got a new job out of nowhere and had to move for this new job. As our listeners have known, I work for a school system out in Western New York. Had a wonderful job, you know, wonderful coworkers, awesome kids and everything. And I've been trying to get a tech job for quite a while, and there's this whole vicious circle that goes around with getting a tech job. Either they need a bachelor's or 2 years worth of experience, but nobody's going to hire you without 2 years worth of experience or a bachelor's. I could not afford a bachelor's. So that's what was kind of holding me up for a while. And one of my friends out here in Central New York referred a hiring company, my name, he just basically referred them to me, me to them. I don't know which way you want to go by it, but so I got this phone call, and this lady on the other side said, "Hey, we might have a tech job for you. You know, what are your qualifications?" I said, "Well, I don't have a bachelor's. I'm working on my CompTIA A+, which is an international computer certification. I've got these skills. I can do this. I can do this. I don't know that." Yes, I actually admitted to something I don't know. Then that's actually part of being, you know, honest and everything. So a couple on-the-phone interviews go on. Then I actually have an interview, an online interview using this thing called Zoom. It's almost like a Skype, but a lot more stable. So I'm talking to the crew out in Colorado that decided that I'm actually working for and replacing a crew from Colorado for the main company that's located where I am here. So they decided within 5 minutes of talking to me to give me the job, but I didn't find out until the next day because just that's the way things work. So I am now a tech support agent. Yes, I love the agent part. It's my official title for a large technology company in Central New York, and my job is exactly I can't go into the specifics, but I can tell you this. It's a bit more than level one tech support. We actually go into, I can remotely access important stuff and fix it from my cubicle. So, well, that's awesome. And part of the adventure was trying to find a place out here to live. So, I basically had to get my stuff packed and get myself out to Central New York in less than a week. So I was able to do that by renting an Airbnb over in, it's several blocks away from where I am now. So I was staying there working, thoroughly enjoying my job, and, trying to find a place. And I had a scammer trying to get me into an apartment, which did not work because I'm a little bit smarter than that. And then a gentleman that I was working with, I'm going to give him and his company props, Andrew from the Apartment Connection. Dude, I love this guy. I love this guy because he came to me and said, "Look, I just got this apartment this morning. I don't have any pictures. Let's go see it." So we toddled over to where it's located, and it's an upstairs part of an old house, kind of mansion-y size, 1800s mansion size. So it's kind of, you know, kind of big, but also manageable. 3-bedroom apartment, $700 a month. I'm like, yes, perfect. So that's, yeah, that. So that's why there have not been any shows, is because I'm trying to get life figured out here, and I need to concentrate on getting an apartment, number one. Number two, also work and everything. And ta-da! We're back! Because, yes. So it's been a little crazy.
Back in the news,
yeah. It's also been a little creepy, too. A little bit spooky. Because of the age of this house, it creaks and shudders and makes noises like you wouldn't believe some nights. And my first week, my first few nights during the week, I kept hearing ka-tunk, ka-tunk, every few hours. I'm like, what the hell is that? So I'm investigating, seeing if, like, you know, there's a loose window or something. It was the ice maker in the fridge. So I got that turned off. Yes, everybody can laugh about it. It was the ice maker in the fridge. It's okay. Now, a couple nights ago, we had some massive storms rip through central New York to the point where, like, there are several towns up north that were cut off, like completely cut off from everything. We have bridges that were ripped out. We had a landslide on Route 28 going north towards Newport that basically blocked off the road, and thousands of dollars worth, millions of dollars worth of destruction. People have lost their homes. Several people have lost their lives. And that night, it sounded like there was somebody knocking on my front door. Now, here's the thing. I live up on the second floor. The front door was locked. The secondary door was locked and bolted. And my apartment door was locked. So there's this knocking literally sounding like it's coming from that door. And I'm investigating everything, and I can't find the source of the knocking. I still can't find the source of the knocking, and it happens every once in a while, about 2 a.m. in the morning. So we're trying to figure that one out. But other than that, it's a very comfortable apartment. I will be putting together a video tour pretty soon. I'm going to be trying to get things packed, and my mom's bringing up a bunch of stuff. Like my video game systems and everything, and I'm going to try and get home sometime with a movie van to get my editing rig up here and just get everything the way it should be. So video on that is coming for the YouTube channel, Sledge Industries, and also a couple of reviews of some smaller things are coming up pretty soon. And thanks for my 85th subscriber. I appreciate it on YouTube. Okay.
That is my win line.
Oh, okay. Do you need to answer that?
Well, they hung up. Let me see.
Okay.
Oh, it's my mother. But she hung up.
Okay.
So.
All right.
She's probably thinking, oh, she's got a show.
Yep. So that is how busy and crazy but very good crazy things have been for me. Now, so how are things for you been, Danae?
Well, it was kind of rough there for a little bit. I was going through one of my depressive phases and not sleeping, but I'm better now, and I've actually been able to get some cleaning done on my pigsty of a place. I've got everything except for my room to do, but I'm actually feeling much better. I'm sleeping better, and tomorrow I get to get into the doctor to get all of my meds, so, and I'll be good to go. Then also, I have been catching up on my movie watching. I mean, I was just to the point where I didn't care, so I couldn't really focus on the movie, so all I really did was lay in bed and watch YouTube videos. So I got cut off with my movie watching, and I've watched some good movies, except for one. So do you want to hear about the bad one?
Absolutely. I'd love to hear about bad movies. What you got?
Oh, it was not so bad. It was so good. I mean, it wasn't so bad. It was good. It was freaking boring. It's from 1978. It's a Mexican horror film called, it goes by two different titles, Cyclone and Terror Storm. And it's about these, I'm not exactly sure where the location is supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be in the Caribbean, but, well, everyone looks Hispanic. So
okay.
You know how it goes with some of those European some of those foreign films, they have very, very indistinct locations, and kind of reminds me of the village of Visaria in all those Universal horror films. You know, where
gotcha.
you had the villagers dressed like it's from Visaria, which is supposed to be in Eastern Europe. And they're dressed like, I don't know, they're dressed like villagers from the German Alps, or from the German, or from the Swiss Alps, or from German, and they all have Cockney accents.
Cockney,
huh?
I said, that doesn't work, but okay, we'll roll with it.
Well, they were dressed, they were dressed like modern, you know, people, and they didn't have Cockney accents. Well, they had just very bad dubbing. I would have almost preferred Cockney accents. But anyway, I digress. It's basically about these people that go out on a tour boat and a plane that is flying. And another fishing boat that are all out and about when a cyclone comes. Well, the tour boat doesn't crash, but the motor dies. And the same thing happens with the fishermen get into a lifeboat, and the plane crashes, and the survivors are on life jackets. Well, the people in the boat rescue the lifeboat rescue the plane survivor passengers. Well, the ones that didn't get picked off by a shark, and I'm just telling you, this movie was sold as a shark movie. You only see the shark once or twice. And I'm very disappointed. It's like more like a disaster flick. Well, anyway, everybody else gets picked up by the tour boat, and of course they run out of water, they run out of food, and you know, people start dying, and so you kind of guess what they have to resort to doing. And this movie was like an hour and 58 minutes. And to be honest, I can't really tell you how it ended because I turned it off. I mean, I had 13 more minutes to go, but I had enough. So this isn't an official review because I don't like to review movies that I didn't watch all the way through. But anyway, it wasn't worth it.
I've actually been wanting to see that one because they always, like, whenever I've seen it up for sale on DVD or something, it's got this really kick-ass art of a shark on the front. And now hearing what you tell me, I think I'd be rather bored with it.
Well, the shark, they use, like, stock foot. Now, as far as the attack scenes, you don't really see them. You just see people moving in the water, and then there's like blood in the water, but you don't really see the shark attack anybody. So I'm pretty sure that all of the shark footage is stock footage.
Yeah, more than likely. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
But go ahead, sorry.
I'm sorry. Well, at least they did. I have a strong feeling that if they tried to do a fake shark for this, then it would have looked bad. So, you know, at least they didn't go that far. Like I said, I don't know. They were just about to get rescued by a helicopter, and I guess I should have hung in, but I was done by now.
Wow.
Plus,
well, you definitely
a woman just gave birth to a baby, and I didn't know if the passengers were going to eat the baby or if the shark was going to eat the baby, and I'm like, I'm done. They already killed a dog for food, and I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah, no, it's like I would kill people to feed my dog. I'm saying that jokingly, everybody, don't freak out. Don't freak out.
People that they consumed were already dead, but they killed this poor dog for the pure purpose of food. And
yeah,
I know people are like, well, you can't judge. You don't know what you would do in this situation. No, I don't. But it's, you know what? I can say what I don't like in a damn movie. Okay?
Right.
And I was just, no, are they gonna eat the baby next? You know, it's just, I don't, and besides, it was so freaking boring. And, I mean,
wow.
It was just like shots of them just sitting in the boat and sitting in the boat. And sitting in the boat and fighting over the last bit of water. You know, there's always got to be selfish people.
Of course.
And you can have stuff like that in there to build tension. But after, if it goes past a certain point, it gets annoying. And I know there's probably going to be people out there going, well, you're not a filmmaker. You don't know. No, but I am a movie lover. I am an audience member. I know what I like and I know what I don't. And I did not like
right.
this movie.
So there. Wow. Well, I have not been watching any movies due to being so busy. I may partake of the new Terminator movie, but that's looking doubtful from all the reviews I've heard. I do have a piece of equipment to review for everybody. I realized when I got out here that I didn't have any Blu-ray players or DVD players except the ones in my laptop. Like I said, I've been too busy to actually sit down and watch movies. So I decided to get a Sega Genesis Mini, the one that Sega just put out. The American version's got 3 buttons. The Japanese and European versions have 6 buttons on their controller. I tell you what, that was the best $80 I've spent in a long ass time. It's got 40 games, including Mega Man, 16-bit versions that actually never got released in America. It was European only, or I think South American, but anyway, Tetris, Alex Kidd, Altered Beast, Golden Axe, a whole bunch of just absolute classic games. The controls are perfect. They are spot on. The sound is 99% there. But I actually think I'm having some issues with the sound not sounding the way it should, like a little bit on the tinny, screechy side. But that's because I got a really, really, really tiny, cheap TV, an Insignia, like, 24-inch TV for less than $40. So I don't think the sound on it's very good. But anyway, yeah, the gameplay in all these classic 16-bit Sega Genesis games is spot on. There are no delays. Yes, this is, like, completely emulated inside the system. There are no control delays. Everything is pretty darn close to being perfect. 4:3 ratio is great. You can actually adjust it to your screen, the ratio to your screen, which I did, and I don't exactly like because it makes the pixels look pretty wonky. Because, like I said, 4:3 is your old TV ratio, which is fine because it's got a background that shows up here. But 16, when you go 16:9, or any other ratio like that, it just does not look good. But that is the case for most games when you change the ratio like that drastically. So I would definitely highly, 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 highly suggest getting the Sega Genesis Mini. However, this is a big however, the power supply unit for mine did not work out of the box. It's the part that actually plugs into the wall, and it's actually run by a mini or micro USB. So the cable itself works fine. I had to actually switch out the power supply brick for my Sega Genesis Mini, which is kind of annoying because, you know, I'm sitting here going, why is it working for like 2 minutes? So I did some tests and bam, you know, bad power brick. But that's the only issue I had, but that's a fluke. That is an absolute fluke. So this is the best. Besides the Nintendo Minis, this is like the best, hands down. That's it, done, period. I'm going to try and get the PlayStation 1 Mini and see if I can hack that a little bit and see what I can do with it. But yeah, the Sega Genesis or Sega Mega Drive Mini that you can get at GameStop or anywhere for about $80, it is so worth it. It is ridiculous. And the games on there.
And you can play. You can play DVDs and Blu-rays on them.
Oh no! This is just a gaming console, retro gaming. Yeah, PS4, Xbox One, they do Blu-rays and DVDs. Xbox 360 does DVDs only.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah.
You said something about not having a DVD player except in your computer.
Yeah, the older laptops, like ones that I have DVD players in them, and you can watch DVDs, but unfortunately can't watch Blu-rays, and that's what I brought with me, so I'm kind of stuck. Well, you know, I was in such a hurry that, yes, I grabbed my laptop, yes, I grabbed my Switch and Blu-rays, and I have no way of watching my Blu-rays. I forgot to mention that the Genesis Mini comes with two Sega Genesis controllers. That having owned this Genesis since like 1990 or maybe 90, let's say 93, no, 1991, in that range, these controllers feel spot on. They've got that nice feeling to them. They're responsive. They smell good. Sometimes when you get, like, controllers and stuff, they smell like chemical plastic. These actually smell like they should. I know that sounds weird once again, but this is a Sega Genesis controller. It's a little bit lighter than the old ones. That's probably because the technology's gotten better. They're USB. I don't know. I do not know if they will work on, like, PC or anything else, but they definitely work extremely well with the Sega Genesis Mini. So that's really awesome. Now, there is something I am pretty bummed out about. Spooky Tinkerbell are not here with me. And I don't know how long it will be until they are here with me, or if they will be. I'm rather upset by this. My landlord wants to get to know me before, you know, get to know me a little bit better before, you know, bringing in pets and so on. And plus, my mom and my stepfather absolutely adore my cats, and they don't want them to leave. So it's one of those, like, things. But I know they will be up here for 2 weeks when my mom and my stepfather go to Florida eventually. And I've already got that okayed, so my little babies will be here for 2 weeks relatively soon. I'm going to try and work that out to be permanently, but like I said, that's a work in progress. But at least they're at home with my mom and stepfather. They're safe, they're loved, and they're giving everybody lots of snuggles over there. And I really, really miss them, and I feel like I betrayed... Okay, this is kind of a weird thing to say. I feel like I've betrayed them by coming up here, but I had to for the job. And I feel bad because I told everybody that Spooky and Tinkerbell are coming, and they're not here yet. So I feel bad about that. But you know, like I said, they'll be up here soon, hopefully. And I'm trying to make.
I missed Tootsie. The first night that I went out of town overnight, and it was the first time since I got her. And I missed her. I can only imagine what you're going through now.
Yeah, it's like I get so many snuggles and so much love from those two, those little fur balls. And it's kind of lonely up here. And I'm actually trying to make friends with the neighborhood strays. There's a lot of them out here. And I got pretty close to one the other day. A little cute tuxedo, so we'll see. At least they know that I'm not a threat, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. So, on a more positive note, the company that I work for encourages creativity and expression and stuff outside the workplace. You should have seen the Halloween party we had. Holy crap. That was awesome.
I saw the pictures.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't publicly post them. I sent them to Danae in Messenger. But, oh, yeah, it was really awesome. So,
and no,
you know,
they were not those kinds of pictures, people.
No, they were some people's costumes and some little munchies that we had, and it was all sorts of good stuff. So what I'm thinking is, because, you know, creativity is encouraged, we shall definitely become more creative and get into some really interesting stuff here on the show. And I'm currently working with some friends out here to figure out how to actually go live on YouTube and do the podcast and everything at the same time. We're going to get that figured out relatively soon. It doesn't mean we're going to actually do it yet, because a lot of equipment is needed for that. And my editing rig and everything else is not here currently, so we'll work on that. But we are going to have more interesting shows coming up. I think for Christmas we have, Danae is putting together a whole series of live watches for the month of December, right?
Right. We're gonna do Christmas themed horror films, basically.
Yes.
I'm calling it the 4 weeks of Christmas, but since the fourth week in December actually happens after Christmas, the fourth Sunday actually happens after Christmas, I want to start like the last Sunday in November, and we're going, it's not set in stone yet, but we're going to try to do a live watch of Blood Freak for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And we could do so many weeks of Thanksgiving, but to me there aren't really that many Thanksgiving themed films that fit our criteria, and I am not sitting through Thanksgiving again, thank you very much.
Oh, I actually like Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, that's great if you like it. I just, and you know me, I like weird, absurd movies, but that was not for me. I'm glad you like it, though.
it just made me laugh, just some of the stuff I came up with in the movie, and then they completely skipped the sequel and made a third one, as they claim. They actually made a sequel but called it Thanksgiving Part 3. Good stuff.
Yeah, and there is no Thanksgiving Part 2.
Right. Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing Blood Freak. I know exactly where my copy is. I will have it in my hands before we do Blood Freak. Not a problem.
Well, right now, Carl can only do Prime. So
right. Okay.
Hopefully that situation will be remedied by that time. Actually, I think I did see Blood Week on Blood Week. It's Blood Week, folks. I think I did see Blood Freak on Amazon. I'm not sure. For streaming, I could be wrong.
Let me see here, actually. Wow, I actually do not. Oh, yes, I do. I actually have Prime Video. I'm going to take a look up on my phone here and see if it's on I don't care about that original stuff. Just give me some, like, I'm grumbling over here at Amazon.
Oh, I know. I hate that now. You get that automatic preview that comes up when you log in.
Right.
Well, I'm like, if I want to see the preview, I'll play it myself.
I know. It's just like, cut the crap, get to the program. Thank you very much. All right. So, yes, Blood Freak is on Prime.
He did say he could rent, but is it free streaming?
It's free. Yeah, it's free streaming.
Cool. So, even if he doesn't have his DVDs and stuff by then he'll still be able to participate.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of good stuff on Prime.
When we did that with Steve that time, I tell you what, I'm so sad that we lost that recording because, let me tell you, if I do say so myself, those were my best jokes.
Oh, I know. Were you on the same episode that Carl and Steve and I did it?
Yes.
Okay, that's all right. I made a pretty good giblets joke that pretty much locked us up in laughter for a few minutes. That was one of my best ones. That was such a good show. Indeed.
And it was actually my second time watching it. The first time I rented it on DVD through Netflix, and then I ended up buying a copy.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, actually,
bought a copy or if one of y'all sent me a copy. I think I bought it. No, I bought it. And I think I sent, did I send someone else a copy? You know, it's been so long, I don't know. All I know is I have a copy and you have a copy and we all had a copy. That's all I remember.
Yep. And this is one thing that I found very ironic is that several months ago, I actually brought all of my DVDs and Blu-rays from the storage where I am now to where I was previously. So basically, I went from Central New York to Western New York. Now, all that stuff, all those Blu-rays and DVDs are currently in Western New York, and I'm in Central New York. So I got to go back over and reload them up and bring them back here. Yay. So, that just reminded me. I tried going to the dump Saturday. They call it the transfer station out here. Whole
mm-hmm.
section of the city was flooded out. I could not believe it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the flooding here was really, really bad. Really bad, 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 bad. Anywho, so I really miss
have you had a chance to see Midsommar?
I saw parts of it with a couple friends of mine, and I just it felt too much like a forgive me. It feels like a kind of like a ripoff version of The Wicker Man, the original Wicker Man, and I was like, whatever, and left in the middle of it.
I can see where you would think that, but I got to tell you, if I were you, I would give it another chance and sit and watch the whole thing because I loved it. Now, I had a few gripes, and I had the same gripe with The Nightingale, Light of My Life. All three of these are really good movies, but they didn't have to be so dadgum long. My issue, I love Midsommar. All the performances were perfect, I thought, unlike Hereditary, but the Hereditary had really good performances except for Alex Wolff as Peter. I mean, As far as acting goes, he was my only problem. I had other issues with Hereditary. Now, Midsommar is by the same director, but the two movies are like comparing apples and oranges. Now, the only real issue that I had with Midsommar is it's too long. And I don't mind a long movie if there's stuff that happens to forward the plot. But, like, there were scenes, like, where they're sitting at the dinner table, okay, and you have to wait for the elders to start before you can start. Okay, I get that. But it's like you're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting until everybody starts eating. And then there's a scene where, okay, everybody's about to dance, okay, and then but you can't start until the elders start. So you're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting before it finally starts. And there's another scene where a character, I swear, is walking to a hut in real time. And I understand that he wants to, you know, he's trying to build tension and suspense. I get that. But if you play it out for too long, And like I said, I'm not a filmmaker, but I know what I like as an audience member, and there are a lot of people, not everyone, but there are a lot of people who feel the same way that I do. If you try to stretch it out too long, people are going to lose interest, they're going to get bored, and by the time something happens, it doesn't have the effect that you want. And that's another issue that I had with this movie called Light of My Life, which is a really good movie. It was written and directed by Casey Affleck, Ben Affleck's brother, and he also stars the lead role. It's the preview, don't go by the preview. The preview sells it like a post-apocalyptic thriller in the vein of The Road. And while it is kind of post-apocalyptic, it's not really a thriller. It's a drama with some intense moments. It's a really good film. Basically, it's about a global epidemic has wiped out the majority of the female population. And we aren't told outright, but it's hinted at that the women, the remaining women, are rounded up and kept in bunkers, quote unquote, for their safety. But so Casey Affleck disguises his 11-year-old daughter as a boy, and they have to keep moving from place to place because there are men coming around trying to gather up all of the females, even the children. And so they have to keep going from place to place. And I didn't mind the scenes where between the father and the daughter, of course, where they're talking and things like that, but the scenes where they're walking and walking and walking. I mean, and this is another one that was it was almost 2 hours. And it really didn't need to be. And I know I'm mumbling. But don't take this as a bad review because I really liked the movie. It's just that, like I said, it's the pacing. And, you know, once you see it and so you know what's going, I hung in there. You need patience. But I hung in there because I really, really cared about the leads and I wanted to find out what happened to them. But here's the thing. Once you watch a movie like this and you know what's going on, you can kind of pass through over the walking scenes. So, and you won't lose anything.
Right.
Now,
okay.
The last movie, I'm sorry, I'm not giving you any room to say anything.
No, go for it. I talked and talked and talked. Go for it.
The last movie is another one that I liked and one that I would recommend, but I tell you what, man, this last movie that I'm going to talk about is going to put you through the frickin' ringer. It's called The Nightingale. It's directed by Jennifer Kent, the same lady who directed The Babadook, which is a movie I really liked and I would highly, highly recommend. The Babadook is streaming on Netflix right now for those, at least I think it still is, for those who are interested. Anyway, it takes place in, it was known as Van Diemen's Land, and now it's known as Tasmania in Australia. It was when the English colonized it, and that's where they sent, they subjugated and abused and killed the Aborigines there, and that is also, it also became a prison colony for convicts, for Irish convicts. And now when I say convicts, I'm not talking about rapists and murderers and people like that. I'm talking about people who had to steal food to, or money to survive. Those are the kinds of people that are sent there. And they're put in kind of like an indentured servitude until they serve out their sentence. Well, there's this one girl, Claire. She is working for a lieutenant. She is working as a maid for a Lieutenant Hawkins, who's in charge of the outpost out there. And she's married, and she has a baby daughter. And her sentence is up. So she's wanting the lieutenant to send the papers in so she can have her freedom. And he's putting it off. Well, he ends up raping her. And she didn't want to tell her husband, but he figured out something was wrong. And he went again and he asked for their freedom. And he said no. Well, that night, he gets drunk. And he goes to the officer that night and demands their freedom. And it just so happens that another officer, a superior officer, is there and sees all this. So he tells the lieutenant that you're not going to get the post in Launceston because of this, because of how your soldiers behave. So Claire and her husband are packing things up, and they're packing things up. They're going to try to run away. Well, the lieutenant and his man end up going to the house, and they rape Claire again in front of her husband. She's gang raped, and they make her husband watch, and then they shoot her husband, and slams the baby up against the wall. Yeah, it's very intense. And so basically, they knock Claire unconscious with a gun, but she survives, and she goes on a revenge rampage. She gets this Aborigine guy, this Aborigine named Billy. He's a tracker. So she gets him to help track them because they left to go to Launceston to try to convince whoever's in charge to let him take over. So they're tracking him, and the whole time she's treating Billy exactly the same way that the English treat them and the way that the Irish have been treated. She calls him boy. She insults him. At first, she was reluctant to go with him because I don't want to go with a black fella or a black. I don't want to go with the black. But eventually, along the way, they learn that they have very much in common with each other, and they bond. And like I said, I don't mind the scenes where they're bonding. But it's just all the walking and the walking and the walking. And it took way too long to get to the point. And I know I sound like a complainer, but movies don't need to be over 2 hours long. They don't. I mean, and there was a scene in John Wick with a fight that just took way too long. And it's the same with Captain Marvel and the Avengers. It's like, tone it down, please.
Oh, yeah.
It is a rough watch, but I still highly recommend it. If anyone's concerned about the scene with the baby, it looks like a dog's being slammed against the wall. There's no blood. And there's a scene in which she's carrying the baby to some friends of hers to bury the child while she goes off to get revenge. But you don't ever see the baby's face. There's no blood. Like I said, it looks like someone's throwing a doll against the wall. But it's just the very idea that's disturbing. But I would still highly recommend people watching it, because, I mean, you've been warned, and even if I didn't warn you, you know when it's going to happen, so you can look away. But it is, I'm telling you, I have never cried and cussed and felt angry and sad so much during a movie since Once We're Warriors. I mean, and I'm telling you, Jennifer Kidd is not ashamed to expose the bloody history of her own country. And I mean, because the English did to the Aborigines and did to the Irish what the American settlers did to the Native Americans here. It's horrible.
It's so true, but it's so horrible at the same time. You know, human beings are terrible. Some human beings are very terrible. That's for sure. Okay, well, that was kind of a grim moment there, but yeah. So, yes.
Sorry, I went on and on and on. I know I kind of basically told the whole plot, but I didn't tell anybody anything that you're not going to read in a description or hear in a review. And I didn't spoil the ending.
No, this is true. This is true. So, starting within the next week or so, I'm actually going to be doing little mini capsule reviews like I did for a while on either Monday or Tuesday, depending on when I have time. And I really want to get into like an actual habit and pattern of doing this. We're definitely going to have shows every Sunday night. We do have some interesting ideas for show plans. And we don't want to share them publicly just yet because, well, that's how ideas get taken by other shows. So we'll be doing some pretty interesting stuff here every Sunday. And the Sledge Pit is going to go in high gear. And Sledge Industries YouTube is up and running. I will have more videos soon, and I will never, ever, 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 ever eat another,
Mysterious
Whopper. Yeah, Impossible Whopper. Oh, jeez. I will never do that again. Ever, ever. So,
this is called the Inedible Whopper from what you said.
Yeah, really. So, Danae, I've got a question for you. I have an idea for videos for the YouTube channel. I used to love building Gundam models and stuff when I was younger, and I still do. I haven't done many in a very, very long time, but I was over at Barnes & Noble, I think Saturday or Sunday. Saturday, today's Sunday, it was yesterday. And I picked up a seriously high-grade Bandai model kit for Voltron, the original with the lions and everything. So do you think a video series of putting that together, do you think that'd be pretty cool?
Sure. I'd watch it.
All right. All right. Well, I have to get an adapter for my phone to tripod, because like I said, all my equipment's at my mom's house. So I'll have to work on that. Well, everybody, I think we're going to wrap it up for tonight, unless there's anything else you want to go over.
No, I just want to add that I think Ari Aster has a fetish for naked old people. Because there was naked old people in Hereditary, and there's naked old people in Midsommar.
So he's like he likes G MILFs. No thanks. Well, everybody likes what they like, but that's not for me. Okay, so videos incoming, more shows incoming. Definitely we're going to get a little bit more creative. Now that situations have changed, I think we can be a little bit more on the edgy side. But not the disgusting edgy, but more like the, hey, that's pretty cool edgy.
No porn.
Oh, no. Exploitation films, oh, yes, without a doubt, but no, not so much on the adult stuff. That's for somebody else to deal with.
Yes, folks, we are not Pornhub.
No. But that's where some YouTubers are making their money now, but we won't exactly go into how they're doing it, or, well, I'll tell you why. YouTube is
no judgment, but it's just not our thing.
No, none whatsoever. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in, and we will be back on Sunday with a pretty cool show. We're actually going to start planning and working on it tomorrow. So we'll have some pretty interesting stuff for you coming. Hopefully a little mini review here or there Monday or Tuesday. I'm probably going to put the reviews on Wednesdays because Monday nights I'm pretty much useless. Because it's a Monday. So, yeah, I'll definitely schedule those for Wednesdays. So, all right, groovy. So, that's about it for tonight, everybody. We appreciate you listening in. Sludge Industries is back, and we are going to kick some booty. And hope your ear holes enjoy it. That sounded rather dirty, didn't it? Didn't mean to. Anyway.
Do I need to put Scratchy back in his cage?
No. Well, anyway. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.